Our worship service here in Karatz today, in the church hall or through in the church building. And hello also to others who will be listening to this service later or on our church website for the days. Witness. March, April, and May. I've put June in there. It's not June, it's March to May. And then also, if you haven't already got your reports for the annual general meeting, there's some copies of those available. Tomorrow evening in Clough Mills at 7:30, the Northern Presbytery meets. It's the annual State of Religion meeting, and the session reports of all the different congregations are being considered at that meeting, and that's a meeting where all of the elders are encouraged to attend, 7:30 in Clough Mills. And Tuesday evening, then, we have a session meeting here in the church hall at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, Sabbath School classes at 11, the services at 12, and 7:30 p.m., evening prayer time as well. Next Sabbath is communion in Ballylagan, so I'm due to be there for their March communion services, and the visiting preacher is here. Is to be Mr. Paul Wallace, soon to be the minister in Brady Reformed Presbyterian Church. That was the call that Paul accepted. I don't know yet when his installation is due to be, but he's be here next Sabbath day to take the services. The Go Teams for this year, applications for Go Teams this year, are now live on the RP Church website, with five teams. The first one being during the Easter holidays in Stranraer, from the 14th to the 18th of April. Then there's Cookstown in July, Clough Mills and Lisburn in August, and Airdrie in September. And so, this summer, senior camp is the 2nd to the 9th of July. That's in Armagh Royal School. And the other four camps, the two camps and the two adventure camps, are all in the same week, the 30th of July to the 6th of August, four different venues. The camp leaders are the same as for last year, with one exception. Is Philip Coulter. So John Coulter is leading the Boys Discovery, and Philip Coulter is leading the Boys Adventure camps this year. Then a new number in regard to an appeal from our Relief Committee for Ukraine. And Relief Committee are asking for congregations to take up an offering over the next 2 Saturdays that will go towards those who are suffering as a result of the invasion. With a pastor working, and the funds that they receive will be going directly through him and where he works. So next Sabbath or the following Sabbath, if you want to make a donation, if you put put it in an envelope marked Ukraine Appeal and put that in the offering plate. And then whatever we raise is to go to Robert McCahan, who is the treasurer of the Relief Committee Fund. Then the Presbytery CY event, the next one coming up, is here at Karatz on Saturday the 19th of March. And it's a quiz night, and that'll be from 7:30 to 9:30. It's open to all who are from year 8 and above, and there'll be a quiz, there'll be supper, and there'll be an epilogue Saturday the 19th of March. Then EMF, European Mission Fellowship, have a conference in Ballymoney Baptist Church at the end of March, Saturday the 26th of March, and they have various speakers. there's a speaker from Poland whose name's not the easiest to pronounce, but it's something like Krzysztof Rutkowski. And then there's a Spanish speaker, Jose Moreno Baracol, and two more local men, David McCulloch, minister in Rowan Woodstock congregation, and Johnny McLaughlin, pastor of Hamilton Road Baptist Church. That's Saturday the 26th of March, the Baptist Church in Ballymoney. It begins with tea and coffee at 10, starts then at properly at 10:20 and finishes at 1:30. Cleaning rota for this week is Fallows family, and those are the announcements that I have. I'll just draw your attention to the prayer points there. Paul Wallace accepting the call of the Brady congregation, and Kenneth Stewart, the Glasgow minister, has accepted the call of the congregation of Stornoway. So the Stornoway vacancy is going to be very, very short-lived, unless there's any delay in Kenneth moving from Glasgow to Stornoway. And also there, the Stornoway congregation recently had an election of elders, and one man has been elected and ordained, Dr. James Fraser, who was formerly in the Glasgow congregation. He and his wife moved to Stornoway a few years ago, and he's been elected as an elder and ordained as an elder and installed there in Stornoway. Well, with those many announcements, we come to the public worship of God, and we sing praise to him from Psalm 93, the A version of Psalm 93, a psalm that reminds us of the great power of the Lord. The Lord is King. He's robed with majesty most bright. The Lord, he has been armed with strength. He clothes himself with might. And we'll be using the tune Zurich, number 208. And the strength of the Lord within this psalm is compared to the powerful force of the sea and its pounding waves. And if any of you have been recently to the coastline, you may see that it just looks different from what it did the last time you were there. If you've been to the White Rocks or if you've been to Port Stewart Strand, you'll see what the recent storms have done to the shape of the shoreline and so on. And in this psalm, we're told about how the floods lift up their pounding waves and how they make a mighty noise. But we're told, verse 4, more mighty than the roar of many waters or the breakers of the sea, on high, most mighty is the Lord. And and today in our scripture reading, we'll see something of the might, of the strength and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the King of Kings. And so we sing to his praise, Psalm 93a, the whole of the psalm. The tune is Zurich 208. And we stand to praise God and then remain standing for prayer.
The Lord is King, he's robed with majesty most bright. The Lord, he has been armed with strength, he clothes testimonies all most certain are unsure, and holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forevermore.
Now we speak to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we return thanks to you today, and we praise you, Lord, for the lovely early spring sunshine that we have. We thank you for various days when we have had lots of nice sunshine during the past week. And Lord, we praise you that you're the God who renews the earth. We thank you for the seasons that you've put in place. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a part of the world where we can wake up and see everything white outside with the frost. And then a few hours later, the frost is gone and the sun is shining and the sky is blue. And we praise you, Lord, for the beauty by which we are surrounded. We thank you for your workmanship and for your skill, for your power. And we thank you, Lord, that you spoke the word in the past and these things came into being. We thank you for how you have sustained the earth. And Lord, we marvel at at how the world is still such a wonderful place. In spite of all the evils of man and all the destruction, all the vandalism and all the wars and everything that destroys the earth. Lord, we praise you for what we can still see and marvel at and recognize the great skillful handiwork of Almighty God. We thank you, Lord, for your great salvation in Jesus Christ, your Son. And we pray that as we remember today his works when he was in this world, Lord, help us to know that he is the one in whom there is hope for sinners. Lord, forgive us our sin. Lead us to a firm and clear trust in yourself. And we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together from God's Word, if you'll turn please to the Gospel of Luke. And we read in chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, page 908 in our church Bible. And today, reading from verse 31 in Luke chapter 4 and through to the end of the chapter. And these are the verses that I want to speak on shortly. Luke chapter 4 at verse 31, let us hear the word of God. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now, in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, You are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee, or it may be in the synagogues of Judea. And we end our reading at the close of this chapter. I'll be speaking, I'll be saying something to the children in the course of the second point in my sermon today, so I'm not doing a children's talk just now. We come to God in our prayers. We're praying again for the situation in Ukraine, and then for ministers who are due to begin a new work with John Coulter and Paul Wallace, and then also Kenneth Stewart in Scotland. Remember Peter Jemfrey, as he has the calls under consideration, and then we can remember also meetings that are coming up this week. Northern Presbytery meets on Monday evening, and our session here in Karatz on Tuesday evening. Want to remember those in our congregation who are still recovering after recent surgeries. And want to give thanks to God for the way that he has worked in regard to the pandemic situation. I was looking on Friday at the statistics, and on Friday in Northern Ireland there were only three people in intensive care, three COVID patients in intensive care, of whom there was only one on a ventilator. And so that is tremendous to have got to that situation when in previous times it was there were much, much higher numbers. And so we can give thanks to God for how he has been at work and how this most recent variant has on the whole been a mild one, which many people have contracted, but it hasn't done the kind of damage that was feared. So let us look to God now in our prayers, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to you today as the God who is the author of life. And we know, Lord, that there was a time when there was no world, and you're the one who brought it all into existence. And Lord, you know all that is taking place within this world. You know the thoughts of those who are in authority in different lands, and you know the thoughts of ordinary people as well. And Lord, we come before you today, and we have our own thoughts and our own concerns. But we pray, O Lord, that we will be able to remember that there is one who is in authority over all. And Lord, we look to you today for your mercies towards the people of Ukraine, in the invasion that they have been enduring in these last couple of weeks. And Lord, we pray for that whole situation, that you would work mightily in one way or another to grant relief to those people. We pray for many homes that have been split with husbands and fathers being separated from their wives and their children, and people not knowing what the future may hold for them. Lord, we pray for your working, and Lord, we pray that the news will be better soon, that things will come to a head in one way or another, that this will not be a long and prolonged invasion with much, much destruction and much loss of life. Lord, we pray for the people there. We ask, O Lord, for your working in the lives of those nearer to home, those who have their own struggles and situations. We pray for folk we know of who have recently had surgery and who are regaining strength after that. And Lord, we pray for May and for Carol. We pray for Linda. We pray, Lord, for others who are awaiting surgery and where that wait is a difficult thing. And Lord, we pray for your strength. We pray for those who are have long-term illnesses. And we pray, Lord, that you will be a merciful God in daily life. We praise you, Lord, that there is a hope beyond this life. And we thank you that there is an everlasting age that is to come, and for all that you promise us in regard to what lies ahead. We return thanks, O Lord, for the improving health situation in regard to the pandemic. And we give thanks that the intensive care beds are largely free now of COVID patients. We pray, Father, that this will facilitate an increasing ability to provide beds for other people. We pray that the capacity for surgery will improve, and that those who have been waiting on surgeries, that there will be some hope and some light for them in these things. We ask for ongoing strength for those who are busy in their health service work, and we pray for your protection and your care also. We pray for wisdom for those who have to make decisions as to what measures are appropriate at different times, and we pray for just for all that's needed in weighing those things up. Lord, we pray for the men who have recently responded to calls. Pray for John Coulter and Paul Wallace and Kenneth Stewart. Help these men as they enter into a new chapter of life, as they move to the places they have to move to. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with them and their families and help them in all these changes. And may they see many encouraging things and knowing, O Lord, something of the good things you had in mind and leading them in that particular direction. We pray for Peter Jemfrey, that you'll guide him in the decision that he has coming up soon. We pray for Paul Flynn as he soon becomes available for call, and we pray, Lord, that you will just reassure him as to your purposes for his life. We remember our student ministers, for Kenny Stevenson and Johnny Fitzsimons. Help these men as they come to near the end of their classes and head towards the exams that they have. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give them energy and keep them well, that they may be able to keep going. We ask for wisdom for our Northern Presbytery meeting tomorrow night, and considering the work in the 10 congregations within our presbytery. Pray also for our session here in Karatz and meeting on Tuesday evening. Help us, O Lord, in the work to be done there. And we ask, Heavenly Father, for your showing us of the truth in the scriptures that we consider today. We pray, Lord, that you would be at work by your Holy Spirit, and that the words you've given to us would be words that we would take note of and take heed of. And Lord, we pray that we would do the things that you're showing us that we need to do. Help us, O Lord, work among us, we pray. And we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. We look now to Luke chapter 4, passage of scripture that was read earlier. Luke chapter 4, verses 31 and through to 44. Who is in charge? Who is in charge in Ukraine today? Is it President Zelensky or is it President Putin? Whose authority holds sway? What way are things going to look in that land in a week, in a month, in a year? Will those who have fled their homes, will they have anything to go back to? Will they have anyone to go back to? For the people of Ukraine, the question of who is in authority in their land is a very important question. And the question of authority and where authority lies is one that features prominently in these verses in Luke chapter 4, which we've read today. When Luke begins his account of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, he tells us, first of all, about his rejection in his own hometown of Nazareth. And then he moves on to tell us about Jesus' ministry elsewhere in Galilee, which was in the northern part of the land. And we begin in the town of Capernaum, which was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, an inland sea, also called Lake Gennesaret. And I'm going to be speaking today about Jesus in charge and various ways in which we see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses. There's four things I want to speak about. And the first one is authority in teaching. The teaching of the Lord Jesus at the synagogue in Nazareth had been met by a very hostile reaction. But it was not always so. And Luke tells us about the teaching of the Lord Jesus in the synagogue at Capernaum. And Jesus taught there on the Sabbaths. And we're told what people thought about Jesus as one who taught in the synagogue. Verse 32, it says, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority." And the kind of teaching that Jesus delivered and the way that he spoke in the synagogue at Capernaum, it was not what people were used to hearing in their synagogue. The men who normally spoke in synagogues, they would spend a lot of their time telling what previous famous rabbis and teachers had said, those who had gone before them. And they didn't have much to say that was original or of their own thoughts or where they were presenting things using their own voice. They were always saying, such and such has said this and such has said that. And that wasn't the way that Jesus taught. Jesus didn't lean upon others for his teaching. He taught himself as one who had authority. Think of the Sermon on the Mount that we have in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5 to 7. And in various places there, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." And Jesus says, "I'll tell you the way it really is." And at the end of Matthew 7, it tells us how that message of Jesus was received. Verses 28 and 29. "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." So people weren't used to hearing the kind of teaching that Jesus delivered. Because he taught with authority. And Jesus had authority. He taught with authority because he had authority. And as God the Son, and as the one who in the past had spoken the word and things were created, Jesus didn't need to lean upon what others had said. Jesus taught with authority. And today, our Lord speaks to us with authority. And he speaks to us through the Scriptures. And there is no higher authority than the Word of God. And we're not to argue with God's Word. We're not to resist God's Word. But we are to humbly accept what God says to us in the Scriptures. And we're to recognize that he has the right to say these things. Jesus taught with authority. We see, first of all, authority in teaching. Then the second thing I want to speak about in regard to authority is authority over demons. And in these verses and many other places in the Gospels, we see the authority which the Lord Jesus Christ had over the demons or the evil spirits. Now, there is very little in the Old Testament Scriptures about demons or evil spirits. And prior to the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told very little about them. But then we come to the Gospels, and demons are mentioned so often, evil spirits. These are the angels that rebelled with Satan and were expelled from heaven, and they're gone forever. And here they are, emerging during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the key time in the history of the world. And Satan threw all he had at the cause of Christ. And it's clear from the interactions of the Lord Jesus with the demons here in this section of Scripture that we're looking at today, that the demons knew exactly who the Lord Jesus was. Verse 34, the demon that possesses the man in the synagogue at Capernaum, we're told he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And again in verse 41, we're told of the many demons. The demons came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And we're told that rebuking them, that Jesus did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. They knew that he was the Christ. And children, I want you to think about that part of our story in particular today here in Luke chapter 4. The demons, the evil spirits, they knew who Jesus was. There's a lot of people that Jesus encounters during the course of his ministry, and they don't understand who Jesus is. And some of them have one idea and others have a different idea. But the evil spirits, the demons, they knew who Jesus was. And they were right when they said about Jesus that he was the Holy One of God. They were right when they said he was the Christ. They were right when he said he was the Son of God. But these evil spirits, Jesus didn't allow them to speak about him, because these weren't the kind of witnesses that Jesus wanted. And these evil spirits are a challenge to us. And they show us clearly that it's not enough to know the truth about Jesus. The demons knew the truth about Jesus, but they had no love for the Lord Jesus at all. They wanted rid of him, and they had a dread of Jesus, but they had no love for the Lord Jesus. And children, it's really, really important and really, really good to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you believe in him if you don't know about him? How can you be saved unless you know about the Savior? But it's not enough to know. And it'll only make our judgment worse if we know about him, but we don't love him. If we don't love him, if we don't trust him, if we don't serve him, it'll do us no good. If we know about him, but we really just want him to leave us alone, well, then we're just like the demons. That's what they wanted. They wanted Jesus to go away and leave them alone. They knew who he was, but they didn't want anything to do with him. And they were right to believe to believe what they believed about Jesus, but it didn't do them any good. The brother of the Lord Jesus, James, writes in James 2, verse 19, he says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Demons believe there is only one God. They don't believe there's all sorts of gods. They don't believe that there's no God. They believe that there's one God. And James says, if you believe that there's one God, you do well. But he says, even the demons believe that and tremble. They believe there's one God. They have no intention of loving the one God that there is. And so let us realize this. It's good to know about Jesus, but we need to love him. Otherwise, we'll just end up like the demons. And these demons that we read about here in Luke chapter 4 and elsewhere, they cause great harm and great havoc in the lives of the people that they take over. But when Jesus encounters them, there is only one winner. Jesus has said earlier in this chapter about what he has come to do, and he has come to set at liberty those who are oppressed. They're at the end of verse 18. And so Jesus sets about driving out the demons. And he doesn't accept that this is the way this person just has to remain. Jesus drives out the demons. And he does so without any special fancy techniques. There's nothing magical. There's nothing mystical. There's no secret words or incantations or any of that old stuff. Jesus just tells them to come out. He just commands them, and they do what he says. They are compelled to come out. They can do no other. They don't want to come out, but one who has a greater authority than them tells them to come out. Verse 35, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. So also, verse 41, when the many demons come out, Jesus has commanded them to come out, and they come out. And the people see this. The people see the ministry. They see what Jesus is doing. Verse 36, we're told they were all amazed. They spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And we're told how this report went out into every place in the surrounding region. So we see Jesus Christ and the authority that he has over the demons. And it's plain to see. It's plain to see who's in charge when Jesus comes up against an evil spirit. The evil spirits have to do what Jesus says. And so we are to be encouraged to believe that although there is a great power of evil and of the devil who lies behind that evil, there is great power there, but the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is altogether greater. And evil cannot maintain its grip upon those whom Jesus chooses to set free. And the demons do what they're told because Jesus has authority over the demons. And Jesus is the one who proclaims liberty to the captives. And we see it in his ministry. He has authority in teaching. He has authority over demons. And then in the third place, he has authority over sickness. And we move from the synagogue in Capernaum to a house in Capernaum, the house of Simon Peter. And all is not well in Simon Peter's house because his mother-in-law is sick with a high fever. Luke, the gospel writer, is a doctor, a medical doctor. And he doesn't just tell us that she's sick, but he tells us that she's sick with a high fever. And it wasn't a case of a doctor being called. Instead, it's the Lord Jesus who is asked to help. And we're told in verse 39 what he does and what the result of that is. It says, "So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them." And in this simple event, we see the authority and power that the Lord Jesus had over sickness. And he acts in the same way with this lady who is very ill as he does with the demon. He rebuked the demon, and here he rebukes the fever. And as the demon left the man in the synagogue, so the fever just leaves. It leaves her. And it's an immediate act of healing. It's not that this was the turning point, and from the time that Jesus came into the house, the woman began to get better. That's not the way it was. No. 1 minute, she has a high fever, she is very seriously ill, and the next moment, she's up and about, and she is serving others. Now, that's not what happens in normal life. That's not how it would normally have been with anyone who recovered from a high fever. They would be greatly weakened by that fever. They would be laid low with that fever. They would have to be gently nursed back to health over a period of time. Not so with Jesus. The healing he brings is immediate, and the patient is immediately back into action. It'd be like Trevor's wife, Carol, if she got home from the Royal Victoria after her surgery, and then she's straight into her wellies and out to help with the lambing. Well, I don't know if Trevor tried to get that to happen, but it didn't happen. I know Carol would have liked that to happen, but she knew that that was not an option. But that's the kind of thing that you have here with Peter's mother-in-law. One moment she's there, sick in her bed, severely ill and weak and feeble, and the next she's up on her feet and she's serving. She's busy looking after others. And Luke makes it very clear that this is the power that Jesus has. This is his authority over illness. And he also makes it clear in this passage that this isn't a one-off thing. as we read that verse 40, that when the sun was setting, and so the Sabbath was considered to be passed, we're told that all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them. All their different conditions, all their different symptoms, all the things that were wrong with them, he laid his hands on each one of them, and each one of them was healed. No sickness was too difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ to cure. He had power and authority to heal. And all of that was a sign pointing to who this man really was. And that immediate healing and complete healing that Jesus supplies in terms of physical illness, that is also what Christ supplies in terms of spiritual illness. And just as he could heal a disease in an instant, so he can deal with our sin in an instant. And those who come to Jesus Christ burdened with their sin, weighed down with a sense of guilt and the condemnation of God, it can all be taken away in an instant. Gone and gone forever. And instead, there is a new life and a new energy. And people from the depths of despair can go forward and can live their lives to the glory of God. And as these ill people are suddenly healed, so Jesus suddenly saves. And he is mighty to save as he is mighty to heal. That healing ministry of the Lord Jesus is also a foretaste of the new heaven and earth where sickness will be banished forever. Revelation 21 verse 4 tells us that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. But we're not there yet. And for now, some of us have to live with daily, constant pain. Some people face a life where every day is a hard day. But the Scriptures give us the hope that there is an age to come. And there is a day when all of this will come to an end for those who are ill and suffering, but who are in Christ. And in the age to come, it's not just the case that we'll be conscious of no longer being ill or no longer being in pain, but we will be well, well, and never anything but well. And put yourself in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be well forever. Jesus has authority over sickness. And then finally, Jesus had authority over his own agenda. After all the teaching, after all the healing on that busy day, Jesus, having had a bit of sleep, he needed refreshment as one who had human flesh like ourselves. He would have been drained by all of that. He would have needed solitude. And in verse 42, it says that when it was day, he departed and he went into a deserted place. And that's what he wanted. But the locals wanted something else. They wanted more of Jesus. And we're told that they sought him And they came to him, and they tried to keep him from leaving them. And Jesus listened to what they had to say. But he didn't do what they wanted. Jesus replied, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And Jesus wouldn't follow the agenda of the people of Capernaum because he had his own agenda, and he knew what his mission was, and he knew what he needed to do. And he moved on to preach in the other synagogues, in other towns, both in Galilee and further south in Judea. And Jesus didn't make a point of staying where he was well received. Jesus didn't allow popularity to set his agenda. Jesus had a message to preach to the other cities also. And Jesus was in charge of his own agenda. Jesus would go not where people wanted him to be, but he would go where the Spirit of God led him. Sometimes he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Sometimes he was led to a place like Nazareth to be rejected by his own. And wherever Jesus was, he responded to the needy people that he encountered. But he also moved on. He also moved on to other places. He moved on to other places where there were other needy people. And Jesus was like us. He couldn't be in more than one place at a time. Paul Wallace just recently had a choice to make as to which location he would serve in. He had three choices, and he had to choose one. And Jesus could only be in one place at a time during his earthly ministry. But today, we can be encouraged because Jesus is not limited in that way now. And wherever the people of the Lord Jesus are, he has promised that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And Jesus promises us always that when we draw near to him, he will also draw near to us. It doesn't matter where we are. Draw near to him, he will draw near to us. The people of Capernaum, they tried to keep him from leaving them. Well, Christians today, we can know that he isn't going to leave us. He isn't going to leave us. Jesus, when he was on earth, he had authority over his agenda. He did things according to his timetable and not the timetable of others. He stayed or he went according to what he believed to be right. But now, the Lord is in heaven, and wherever his people are, there he is with them. And so we can rejoice in the Lord who is able to be with his people in all our life situations. So let us look to the Lord Jesus that we have here in these verses, the one who has authority, the one who is in charge, the one that we need to know for ourselves. In him we will find life and peace and healing and hope and everything that we need. Amen. We sing to God's praise from Psalm 99, the A version of Psalm 99. And we sing the first four stanzas and then also stanza 8. 99A, 1 to 4, and stanza 8. The tune we use is Glasgow, number 93. The Lord, He is the one who reigns. Let all the peoples quake. He sits between the cherubim. Oh, let the whole earth shake. The Lord in Zion, great and high above all people is. Your great and awesome holy name, let all the people bless. And the last stanza, O do exalt the Lord our God, and at his holy hill, O worship him, because the Lord our God is holy still. And so it is this great exalted Lord that we're called upon to remember that he is the one who reigns, and he is great and he is high, and he is exalted, and so he is the one that we rightly worship and rightly look to, and we need to remember him at all times. We unite in praise then. The first four stanzas and the last stanza of 99A, the tune is 93. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction.
The Lord, He is the one who reigns. Let all the peoples quake. He sits between the cherubim. Oh, let the whole earth shake. Lord in Zion, great and high, above all people is. Your great and awesome holy name, let all the people bless. In strength the King loves justice, He established equity. Justice and righteousness by you in Jacob done will be. O people, let the Lord our God by you exalted be, and at his footstool worship him, the Holy One is he. Oh, do exalt the Lord our God, and at his holy hill, oh, worship him, because the Lord our God is holy still.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.